This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 7:35 in the morning, and now it's time to look at the global markets. On the line, we have Kingsley Jones, founder and chief investment officer of Jevons Global in Sydney. Good morning, Kingsley. Thanks for joining us. Now, the US-China talks ended last week, appeared to have made some progress. In the next round of talks, China's top economic officials are expected to visit Washington later this month, and I think both countries are under pressure to think about the volatile economic and market situations. What is your take on market sentiments following the talks last week?
Well, certainly I think that the conclusion of those talks has helped because they seem to be rather positive in as much as they're extended for another day. But in terms of the sentiment, I think we have to think about perhaps what happened in December. I mean, there was a very steep sell-off that culminated in the December 24th low last year. And look, I think a lot of that was a continuation of the former downtrend, but it met very low liquidity that normally happens in December. I mean, there are many people on holiday, so there's not a lot of buyers available. And so what we've seen off the back of that is a pretty good, strong open to the year as people made out source of value. They came in and they bought, and we've also had what appears to be an initially positive outcome with the trade talks. So these signs are indeed very encouraging to us. But we're inclined, I think, to fade the present rally a bit, meaning what we're doing is we're looking to quit any positions we don't actually want to own through 2019, rather than actually buying. But we're looking forward to the coming US earnings season because we'll get a lot more clarity about what's been happening with large US companies.
Well, Kingsley, the U.S. is entering into fourth week of the government shutdown, and that's the longest in history. How is this affecting markets? I mean, what are the implications if this continues? Could we really see the U.S.'s AAA rating affected, as Fitch had warned?
Well, certainly, I mean, you know, Fitch are in the business of making assessment of how the market will judge government finances in the U.S., so that's pretty important that they're saying that, look, it may affect the AAA, and obviously that would have a follow-on effect in both bond markets and stock markets, and it wouldn't be good. However, look, the biggest effect that we think matters for the equity markets right now is that the shutdowns affected the Securities Exchange Commission, the regulator, the so-called SEC, and that's actually stalled the lineup of mega-tech IPOs that we're expecting, you know, companies like Uber and Lyft. And while the sentiment is better in markets for now, this shutdown has effectively prevented those companies from coming to market because of the nature of the SEC regulatory process for initial public offerings. And those companies, they're still burning cash. So the longer they stay private, the more money they have to raise. There'll be, I think, some nervous times for venture capital at this period because clearly, you know, the owners of those companies, the funders of them, they would like to, shall we say, get out and liquidate their holdings, but right now they can't. And if they continue to remain private, then those private funders will have to come up with more cash to finance these companies as they're not making profit.
Kingsley, amid this background of not very good news, stocks seem to have rallied since Christmas, with the S&P 500 jumping about 10% since Christmas. Could this simply be a dead cat bounce, or are we out of the bear market?
Well, look, it could be. I mean, if it's not a dead cat, then certainly we think it's a good time to sell any cat that's sick. the thing is that in connection with judging where the markets are at, certainly markets in terms of how they behave are a pretty good guide to sentiment. But I think pretty much everybody will be waiting to see what the earnings season brings in the U.S. Because as we saw with Apple in the very first week of the new year, you know, they came out with a surprise downgrade to revenues and said, look, you know, they'll be 10% lower than what we thought. And we knew that there would be certain problems, but we hadn't expected our China sales of mobile phones or smartphones to really take a hit. And that was backed up by what happened with Samsung shortly afterwards, the other, you know, big name in mobile phones outside of China. So, look, I think that what that means is that, as I said earlier, it's a good time in this rally to sell any company that you think is impaired, we think. But in terms of buying, I think it's probably a little bit difficult right now because it is late cycle. Normally, we'd be very keen on all the construction firms in the US and companies like Boeing. But if the global economy really has taken a big hit into a slowdown, that might last 6 months, then that could be a difficult thing to be doing and perhaps not the wisest position. So I think we just have to wait.
Well, Kingsley, you're saying that we have to wait. What are you advising your clients to do, given you're saying that's difficult to buy right now? But do you see any hidden gems?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we did very little over the festive season. You know, everyone goes on holiday and liquidity wasn't there. But at the margin, we've been advising our clients on participation in tax-effective buyback events. They're particular to Australia, I have to add. We have this particular tax system around dividends. But the really big mining company in Australia, BHP, did a buyback that was very, very good to participate in for clients who are on low tax rates, like retirees. So we were advising clients on how to handle that, and that was certainly a pretty good outcome for those investors. Elsewhere, you know, although we see a lot of value, we're really keen generally on value as a story for later in 2019 because there's a lot of cheap stocks. But in terms of where the action is right now, we like the metals, specifically we like gold and palladium. We prefer to own the physical metal palladium. It's doing pretty well for some reasons I won't go into on this call, but it's beating platinum in essence because of a shift in how catalytic converters are made for cars. And we like Australian gold stocks for exposure. And the mid-tier Aussie gold miners are doing great right now due to record Australian dollar gold prices.
Kingsley, just to put things into context, you know, the markets have performed really well over the last 10 years. And this recent crash perhaps has given a jolt of fear to investors. What is your overall approach going forward? Is it a risk-off or is it risk-on?
Well, look, I think because of the uncertainties, what we're doing is what in the trade is called a dumbbell. It means we've got a bit of each. And you can do that in a portfolio by having some defensive names at one end of the dumbbell and some late-cycle growth-sensitive names, the sort of companies you'd expect to do well when there's a lot of capital expenditure going on at the other end of the portfolio. So just to run through those, I mean, the defensive stocks would be things like health and pharmaceuticals and food, and we own some of those. And the late cycle growth sensitive names are things like miners, energy companies, oil companies, and stocks like Boeing that make airliners, which are big ticket items that tend to get bought late. And so we've really got both of those positions in place, but we vary the mix according to our judgment of whether, you know, we're going to see more of the growth part of the cycle, or really we need to position in more defensives for a coming downturn.
Kingsley, what about tech stocks like FANG stocks? Because the Netflix has outperformed other FANG stocks since Christmas Eve. It's up almost 44%. What's behind this performance and what's your outlook for this stock this year and the other FANGs?
And also, Kingsley, might I add, what do you think of Amazon? Because Jeff Bezos is going through a divorce.
Okay. Well, there's a lot happening there. I mean, you know, as you rightly point out, the FANGs have been a great place to be for some years. Due to a combination of their high intrinsic levels of revenue growth, their commanding positions in their markets, and obviously investor appreciation of that. Nobody doubts that these are great businesses, but what I would say is they're also on high earnings multiples late in the cycle, and that can be a little bit tricky around certain others. So we'll just run through them quickly. I mean, Netflix, as you rightly pointed out, big rally. I think there's a lot of tactical traders in that stock who have appreciated that there's a potential for a rebound because the business ain't broke. It's just that it's susceptible to sell downs when people worry about the valuation. Elsewhere amongst the FANGs, Amazon, I think that Amazon continues to develop as a business. There's no doubt that there's great opportunity in terms of the underlying potential of that business to continue to get larger. The main issue on investors' minds, again, is the multiple. And I think around Amazon, one of the things that we have to be careful about, so the divorce I'll come to in a minute, but one of the things we really have to be careful about is that what really makes a lot of Amazon's cash flow is the cloud business, AWS. And now Amazon is under, you know, has a number of firms in hot pursuit, namely Microsoft with Azure and Google with their cloud offering. And therefore, while there's huge potential for that, I think that there'll be a lot of pressure within Amazon between the different units of the business as to how the cash flow is spent from the cash cow that's AWS. And that could lead to some problems down the track, we think. As far as the divorce is concerned, I don't think that's a big issue. I think that a couple like that have been around so long, they will probably have structured their affairs so no real stock sales are required. And, you know, in divorces, I don't think people need billions of dollars to get over it. You know, if they are selling, it might be a couple of million dollars here and there to organise their own family affairs. So I don't think that's a big deal. But within tech more generally, outside the FANGs, the stock we're most favoured to is Microsoft. We think that's a company that's turned around in great shape.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning. And that was Kingsley Jones, Founder and Chief Investments Officer of Jevons Global in Sydney. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.